Under the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We talked about last week about being troubled. And the Lord, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, the Word of God said to you who are troubled, rest with us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and he also states in that same passage, saying it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. The first century Christians were troubled and persecuted, but he says that there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That is, they would corrupt it. You think that's something that is only confined to the first century times? People today corrupt the simplicity of the gospel. And you get anything out of sync with what the book says, you don't have the gospel anymore. It's perverted. It's twisted. It's false. And that ought to concern each and every one of us. When you take catalog of what this book says is accomplished by the gospel, by the Word of God, then you ought to be impressed with how dangerous that is when individuals are preaching things contrary to the gospel of Christ. There's no way to accomplish what this book says the gospel accomplishes except you preach the gospel. And so when men stand up to proclaim what they call the gospel and it's just storytelling, and so that people leave with a better felt experience than something told and so forth, and that ought to alarm all of us. But he says that some would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now watch the steadfastness of the Word of God. But though we... Now who's he referring to when he says, but though we... The apostles. But though we or an angel... The word angel in general means a messenger. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and this is nailing it down, it's repeated for emphasis' sake. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. The word accursed has the idea of being something that is yielded up to the wrath of God. Stand in judgment, all of us will, for the word that we proclaim. And we've got to make sure that what we proclaim is in harmony with the Word of God. I think about the passage in the book of James, chapter 3, and in verse 1. My brethren, let not many of us be teachers, for we shall receive the greater, stricter judgment. Now, incidentally, there are some religious groups who claim that an angel from heaven or some man has received a direct word from the Lord. And so a lot of folks fall prey to that. And there's a lot of religious groups, no doubt, that claim, well, the Lord laid it on my heart. You hear preachers in the religious world often say that. Or Joseph Smith, the angel of Moroni, came down and revealed some things to me and told me where some gold plates were, and I dig those up and I translated them. That's the Book of Mormon. And you really have to watch what when they say that, because they say, well, yeah, he does say, though, we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, but what we're preaching is not another. It's not something other. It's something that is in harmony with, but you just go through the book and it's not in harmony with the Word of God. But for emphasis' sake, even though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. The Lord said, though heaven and earth pass away, my word will never pass away. Matthew 24 and in verse 35. The glory of man is as the flower of the grass, but the word of God endures forever. 1 Peter 1 verse 25. Then Paul says, begin with verse 10. For do I now persuade men, or do I seek to please men? Two important questions. Am I trying to persuade men? If you look that up, you'll find a word associated with it, to pacify. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. One of the things I told you that Paul is dealing with in the first two chapters of the book of Galatians is what? Now, his apostleship, he's given a defense of the fact that he is just as much an apostle as the other apostles are, and he's really going to nail that down as you get into the latter part of chapter 1 and then into chapter 2. By the way, we need to be careful about who we try to please and make sure that our aim is to please God. Now, all of us appreciate words of encouragement. All of us do. When you do something, whether it's leading a song or leading a prayer or serving the Lord's Supper, whatever the case may be, and someone says you did a great job, you did a good job, you appreciate that, don't you? All of us appreciate words of encouragement. Ladies and gentlemen, if the words of encouragement never came, so long as God is pleased with what we're doing, that's what counts. In the final analysis of everything, that's what matters, is that God has been well pleased with our service to Him. But He says, for if I yet pleased men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. Any thoughts or comments about that? You want to make a comment? You can. I'll just be brief and go on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 4, Paul says, but we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, not only the gospel of God, and what's this, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And so Paul and the apostles were not trying to please men. Then in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, someone who does not, without me having to look it up, who does not use a King James Version Bible, what does your version render certify as? To make known? I've got a note in the margin of my Bible. I didn't know what version that came from. Maybe New King James Version. What do you use? New King? Anyone else? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. That's the second thought that Paul has put before them when he talks about not of or after men. Where was the other one at? Go all the way back. Take your eyes and scroll upward to verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Paul, what on earth do you mean that it was not after man? Here's a strong statement about inspiration of the Scriptures. We've talked about on Sunday morning a lot in our series from Joshua 4, 6, and 7 when your children ask, and we talked about how the Bible got to us and the inspiration of the Scriptures. A lot of passages talk about the Scriptures being inspired, which means what? God breathed. They came forth from God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And so Paul says that the word that I preach, the gospel, is not after man. What do you mean, Paul? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You ought to underscore in your Bible, neither received, neither taught, but by revelation. Paul was not given the word by the other apostles. They didn't come to Paul and say, now, Paul, if you're going to be out here claiming you're an apostle, this is what you're going to teach. Paul says, no, I received the gospel that I preached, by the way, that I once destroyed. I received it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I received it but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does word revelation mean? The revelation of Jesus Christ in Revelation 1, seal? Yeah, to make known or an unveiling or revealing something that was not known, but then it is revealed. And certainly it was revealed unto Paul. When you look over at verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and Damascus. Returned again, rather, unto Damascus. And so Paul says that the gospel that I've preached unto you, that is so steadfast that though we or an angel from heaven attempt to preach any other gospel unto you, you let him be accursed. Paul says, I didn't get it from men. I wasn't taught it, but I got it by revelation. I can't help but to think about the passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, when Paul says how that by revelation, the context, he's talking about the mystery of Jew and Gentile being reconciled unto God in one body. How that by revelation, Paul says, I received it. Notice in Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, how that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And then verse 6 and following tells us what that mystery was, about the Gentiles being fellow heirs in the body and so forth. But Paul says, I received it by revelation. I wrote it for in few words. If you want to understand what was revealed unto me, then you need to just have a seat and wait for some small still voice to come and whisper it in your ear. Is that what he says? No. You read it. Paul said how that you, when you read it, then you'll understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so again, it was revealed unto him. Now watch verse 13. He doesn't change gears. He's defending the fact that he is an apostle like all the other apostles were. But he begins in verse 13 by talking about his past life. What he did before he obeyed the gospel. Now, sometimes we give ourselves a fit. And we think, look at what all I did. Well, we understand that there's no big sin, little sin. But I want you to think about your life as I do mine. And we'll just kind of think about our own past life in the light of the Apostle Paul's past life. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who was a stout persecutor of the church. And I don't just mean opposing to a little degree. But when you read in the book of Acts and other places, as we will in just a moment, you think about what the Apostle Paul did. I dare say you probably have never done to the body of Christ what he was guilty of doing. But he says, for, and you need to underscore that, that's a reoccurring word. You see that in verse 10, for do I now persuade men. Verse 12, for I neither received it. Verse 13, for, it's the Greek word guard, introduces a reason. For ye have heard of my conversation, some versions may say conduct. You've heard of my conduct, my lifestyle, my actions. In time past, in the Jews' religion, I want to stop there for just a moment. Was Paul a Jew? Yes, he was. And he mentions a number of times that he was. But it interests me that Paul, now a Christian, now someone who's obeyed the gospel of Christ, persecuted the church, obeyed the gospel, wrote half the New Testament, and he says, for ye have heard in time past about my conduct, my conversation in the Jews' religion. That just caught my attention from the standpoint that Paul is not saying in a religion that he continues to claim, but in the Jews' religion. I'm no longer in the Jews' religion because he'd obeyed the gospel of Christ. And folks, you have people today who think that somehow they don't have to come completely out of whatever it was that they have obeyed and just continue to carry some baggage. Willingly carry some baggage. Now, there's some things that maybe takes time to get over as we learn better. But Paul says in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure. Think of the significance of that. Beyond measure, you can't even measure what I used to do. Now that's coming from his own lips. Words inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit. How that beyond measure, what did you do, Brother Paul? I persecuted the church of God. and I wasted it. The American Standard Version says, I made havoc of it. I persecuted the church of God. The idea to sack or to ravage.
Its version says, try to destroy it.
Try to destroy. I think we'll see that idea, and I appreciate you pointing that out, Cheryl, because we'll see the idea of destroy, even down in verse 23. Does your Bible in verse 23 say destroyed, which he once destroyed?
Tried to destroy.
Yeah, there's no destroying. There's God's Word, even if we oppose it, still stands strong. But I persecuted the church of God. I wasted, tried to destroy, made havoc of it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. A lot could be said about that. What about zeal? You think it's important for us to be zealous? Absolutely. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14, we are a peculiar people, purchased possession, but zealous of good works. But ladies and gentlemen, we can be full of zeal. We can be on fire, as the saying goes, for the Lord, but yet all the while be what? Say it again, Bernie. Be wrong. And Paul is an example of that. You might want to take down a note in the margin of your Bible to Romans chapter 10 when Paul talks about the Jews. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. In other words, they're not saved. And Paul says, I bear them record, verse 2, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. So Paul said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals or his peers in his own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Traditions won't cut it, folks. The Jews had developed, now to what extent, I don't know. But they had developed lengthy traditions and their interpretations of what the law of Moses said, and here's how we're going to apply them. Here's the law of Moses, and here's our traditions, and they put a lot of weight, a lot of emphasis on traditions. Remember when the Lord said, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And so forth. For this people's heart is far from me. With their mouth they do honor me, but their heart is far from me. Teaching doctrines of men, four commandments, the doctrines of men. But in vain they do worship me, Matthew 15, verse 8 and verse 9. When you think about what Paul did, again, he stated that he persecuted the church, destroyed it, tried, profited in the Jews' religion. I want you to take your mind back and you tell me what comes to mind when you think about Paul and the first instance that you run across Saul of Tarsus as God's people were being persecuted. Now, they were persecuted beginning in Acts chapter 3.
Stephen.
Yeah, it was Stephen. And we're first introduced to him in Acts chapter 7. Stephen gives a nice, concise history of the children of Israel. And they didn't like him when he said, which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And you've killed those that foretold about the coming of the Just One. And as your fathers did, so do ye also. And they didn't like that. The Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he said, looked up and saw the heavens open. I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They dragged him out of the city, stoned him. Think of that. Then the Bible says at the close of Acts chapter 7 that they took their clothes and they laid them down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And then it goes on in Acts chapter 8 that Saul was making havoc of the church and so forth. And he talks about the things that he did. I want to give you some references about the fact that Paul was a Jew. I made mention of that earlier to you, but Acts chapter, we won't read all of these, but Acts chapter 21, verse 29. Did I just say 29? It's 39. Acts 21, verse 39. But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew, of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Today, by the way, when you hear people talking about Turkey, that was Tarsus, our present-day Turkey. It's the same area. But Acts 22, verses 1 and following. Acts 24, 10 through 16. Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been many years a judge unto this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship." And then talks about the things that he did. Philippians, chapter 3, and then verse 5. And Acts chapter 26, and then verse 5. There's five references, and perhaps there's more, where Paul identifies the fact that he was a Jew. A stout persecutor of the church, as he's talking about in Galatians chapter 1. And I mentioned to you Acts chapter 7. He was there when Stephen was stoned, and then in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. What does it mean to consent unto his death? He was in agreement with him. Lending his voice to him. He didn't say, "Now look here, you folks ought not do that." He was in agreement with him. To collude with somebody. To be in agreement with them. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of them letters unto Damascus, that if he found any of this way, what way is he talking about, this way? Now, the Christians of this way, the faith, the gospel of Christ, that he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. In Acts 26, 9 through 11, also mentions that as well. Then when Paul in Acts chapter 22 and in verse 20 is recounting his conversion, notice what he says, Acts 22 and in verse 20. He says, "When the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." You know, sometimes we may not speak up against something. Just simply stand by, silent bystander. Folks who do that are not always innocent. Paul says, "I consented unto that. I was a bystander. I was there. I was present, consenting unto his death." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. And again, Philippians chapter 3. I gave you verse 5 earlier. But verse 6, as you think about what Paul did. About 5 minutes. The Christians were afraid of Paul. Acts 9, 13 and 14, they didn't even believe that he was a disciple. But you had people like Barnabas that spoke up for him. Acts 9, verse 26. And then I want to make this point that God's people have always had enemies. They come in every form, shape, and size. When you think about the enemies of God, you jot these passages down. Psalm 3, 2 Timothy 3, 12, Matthew 5, 10 through 12, Luke 6, 22 and 23, and 1 Peter 4, and then verse 16. Okay, which ones didn't you get?
Luke 6,
22 and 23. 1 Peter 4, 16. Did everybody get those? I'm just glad somebody wants to write them down. I'm sure there's others, right? So then Paul says, "I profited in the Jews' religion. I persecuted the church." And then you think about the examples that he gave. But, there's contrast, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and call me by His grace," some versions say call me through His grace, "to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I confer not with flesh and blood." That's a point that Paul's been making. That he received the word that he proclaimed by revelation, and it wasn't given by men. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. What do you mean, returned to Damascus? What on earth was he in Damascus for? He was on his way to persecute the church. I mean, we read that, Acts 9, 1. Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Went to the high priest, demanded letters as far as to Damascus, going to persecute them. But when he got there, that's not what he did. Why not? I'm going to go there, but it's for a different purpose than what I intended and initially set out for. What was it? Somebody said, I didn't catch what you said. Yeah, the Lord appeared to him as he was going to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Get up, go into the city, and it will be told thee there what thou must do. Acts 9, verse 6. And Ananias told him what he had to do. Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and then verse 16. Then verse 18, after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Now watch the close of chapter 1. But they had heard only. Paul says they didn't see my face. I was unknown by face. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now does what? Now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Now, verse 24. And they glorified God in me. Makes an interesting study when you think about glorifying God in the Bible. But think of that. Here was a persecutor of God's people, now preaching the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorify God in me. And he's gone to accomplish so many things in service to the Lord, as I mentioned to you, right about half the New Testament, and accomplished so many things as he went about proclaiming the gospel of Christ that once he tried to destroy. And now he is a member of the Church of Christ that once he wasted, made havoc of. And now he is a member of the same body in the New Testament that if you're here tonight and you've obeyed the gospel that you're a member of. Paul's not a member of a different church than you. He is a member of the very church that you're a member of, the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ. Isn't that something? What does that say for us? Folks, we can obey the gospel too. I appreciate your good attention. I want to encourage you to continue to read the book of Galatians. Try the best you can to commit to memory the theme passage that we took out and set forth as really the summation of the book, Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of Christ, God. For if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. Galatians 2, 20 and 21. Should you be here tonight, not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one. I can't offer you anything better than to become a child of God, a member of the New Testament church that Jesus purchased with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. You say, preacher, I want to become a servant of the one of which we've studied about tonight, about Christ. And I've done things amiss in my life and I'm dead in my sins, but like Paul who obeyed the gospel, I want to obey the gospel. What must I do? Exactly what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. The very same faith that Saul of Tarsus obeyed. Nothing different, nothing more, nothing less. And when you do that, you'll be a member of nothing more, nothing less. Not even a hyphenated Christian, just a Christian. A member of the Church of Christ, the Lord's body. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, confessing your faith in Christ like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You're not being living as you should, but you realize that and you want to come home. You want to be restored and start anew. Why not do that? Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.